둘, 셋, 파!
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Can you just hold on 1 second because I want to make sure somebody's not arguing.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks as always for making your way here and checking out the series. While you're here, please do hit that subscribe button. I put out 3 new interviews every single week, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones at iTunes, Apple Podcast, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And that's me. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, I get to talk with Santi Gold. We're going to be discussing her new record called Spirituals. It's an album that that found a lot of influence in the big events of the past few years. And she's going to tell us about how the record, well, she says, was a lifeline for her. We'll talk about the moments that speak of black women in survival mode and how women are constantly being told they're not of value. Santi's also going to tell us about her upcoming tour, as well as the tea that she created to go along with the multi-sensory experience of the LP. So let's get into this. We're talking Spirituals. It's Kyle Meredith with Santi Gold.
Hi.
Congratulations on Spirituals, and it's really so nice to have new music again after a few years.
Yay.
Yeah. You know, I read in the press sheet or an interview, you know, you'd said it's a way back to yourself after being stuck in survival mode. You know, maybe we start there at the top. Like, what put this album in motion?
I mean, I was going to do an album anyway. it was going to happen, but it just so happened that, like, I guess I started trying to do it. Like, I was like, okay, I guess I'll do an album now. And then I started, you know, collecting some bits of songs that I'd started, and I started to think about what I was going to write and what I was going to say. And I wasn't really there yet, right? But I was starting to think about it. I was starting to think about what songs and stuff like that. But then, about right then, the pandemic hit and lockdown. And then all of a sudden I was in the house with my family with nobody coming in to help. And I had just turned 2-year-old twins and a 6-year-old, and nobody else could cook in my house. So I was like cooking all the meals and my 2 kids' diapers, and nobody else was deep cleaning. And all of a sudden I was just inhabiting this very small part of who I actually am all the time, you know, and also no sleep. And there was the pandemic, and no one knew what it was. It was like this terrifying thing looming over humanity. We were all separate from each other. There was wildfires, climate shit at the same time. And then, you know, black people getting killed every second in protests. It was just like insanity and way too much. And so at that point, when I could like find an hour or 2 hours somehow, I would just run out to the back house where my recording setup was, and just lyrics started pouring out. I figured out a way to record, like my engineer record me from afar in my studio using my equipment. Like virtual stuff is mind blowing at this point, right? And so I recorded the whole thing, and basically, thank God for my record, and thank God for the ability that I have to create when things get really hard. It really was a lifeline for me to make this record.
Well, I mean, it even opens up the way it opens up. I mean, here you are in a state of numbness, yeah. You know, as I hear that, like, that's a hell of a way to get a record started. How does that set it up for what was to come? I mean, I guess I should also asking, like, did you strategically put that as the first part as an intro to the rest?
My horror?
Yeah.
No, like, that was a great point that you just made. I didn't think of it. I just thought it sounded good as the intro. But yeah, you're right. And then nothing comes shortly after that, right? But Nothing was a song where once I started actually singing the vocals, all of a sudden I started crying, and I hadn't been able to cry. I hadn't been able to like really emote at all because I was in such survival mode that it was like a way to like crack open this survival exterior that I had just, you know, locked around myself to even get through. And so I started to kind of get to the softer stuff as I got into some of these songs, or even the like ferocious fighter in me or whatever. But I started to just go deeper bit by bit and just let some of that stuff out, and also find my way up and out of the circumstances, and basically by creating beauty, just to like be able to move towards that instead of, I mean, I guess, you know, as an artist, I'm like a really sensitive being, right? So if we have all this stuff happening all around, and I had to stay off social media a lot. There was a lot of stuff happening, and a lot of it was really informative. And also, you know, to see something, you know, on a video, it allows you to feel something and understand something in a visceral way, which is really powerful, especially when people around the world get to see what other people are going through. And I mean, that's how we often move forward culturally. But at a certain point, you got to protect yourself from it too, especially if you're a sensitive person, because if you get too weighed down by the heaviness, I mean, you either go numb, you get depressed, you get, you know, you lose your mind. I don't know. Many people do all kinds of things that aren't really great when it gets too hard and too heavy, right? And so for me, I guess I made a choice at some point that by creating, not only was I able to, it was cathartic, and also I was able to kind of heal myself and help myself, but by creating beauty, it gave me something to do that was positive to put out there for other people to grab onto as well.
Which I think even answers, like when I heard Shake, which, by the way, just a side note, such a fun song on top of it, you know, musically speaking, but you get that line, we got to keep moving. And I, maybe I'm taking that out of context and how you meant it in that song, but that's the moment I thought of that. Like, I think I had those points myself, you know, over those past couple of years, like, you've got to keep moving. Like, was it the art that woke you up?
I was awake. I was definitely awake. It was the art that helped me keep going, you know, that helped me find my way through and kept my hope, and it helped me able to keep going, and also to allow flow, because that's really also what Shake is about, in the movement, and it's about flow and allowing things to come and feelings to come, and to welcome all the feelings, but then allow it to flow through you so that you're not just like floored by this heavy stuff, you know, you allow yourself to experience it, to feel it, and then you let it pass, and then that's how you can keep going, and you do what you need to do to take care of yourself in the process.
Well, maybe it's speaking on the same line, like when you throw a line out there, like a no paradise, you know, there's power in our struggle. Mm-hmm. I mean, does that still speak to what you're getting at right there?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I've said before, humans are really resilient creatures. And we as humans have been through a lot. As a Black woman, you know, we've been through a lot. Like, Black women have been through a lot. And I think for me, I realized what I really realized during this was that a lot of Black women are kind of always in survival mode. A lot of Black people are always in survival mode. And that there's a lot of generational trauma that feeds into that, things that we're carrying from our ancestors that we didn't even know we're carrying. And that's something that actually I started exploring a lot during this time too. And I actually started working on a book proposal that really goes into exploring that. That was actually really fun and helped me grow a lot, even in the writing of this proposal, because I did a lot of exploring about my, you know, my great grandmother and my mother and some of the things that they were going through. And then I just saw it in myself and how I'm still perpetuating some of these same struggles and some of the same trauma that they experienced, I'm still carrying, and my daughter's even carrying. And I do think, yes, there is power in our struggle, of course, because we become stronger and more resilient. But at the same time, we do have to figure out which struggles we can let go of so that we can actually be free of some of the stuff that's happened, you know, in the past that we're not in control of too.
That's a heavy line right there. The struggles that we can let go of.
And we'll be right back right after this.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska named three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're back. You are listening to Kyle Meredith with Santi Gold.
It does make, I mean, everything you're saying, it, like the powerful moments are becoming even more powerful as I'm listening to you. Like a song like Ain't Ready, as you talk about your own battle song, but even going from nothing, the song Nothing, you know, to, you know, someone telling you you're nothing, but right into the song High Priestess, like it's almost like you're taking that back. Like, and I think you talk about the nothing a little bit, but what is that moment in High Priestess that you're getting at? Because that almost seems like, you know, like fuck all of you all.
Of course. The thing is, it's interesting because I love how you've really paid attention to the sequence, almost like it's sequential. But and it the interesting thing is you can kind of feel all those things at once, you know, or you go back and forth even in a moment of feeling. Like, I mean, I think I said about nothing. It's like, you know, you're constantly being told that you're not of value. And even if you're not being told it, you're just not being seen and you're not being acknowledged as a valuable being. And that's what it's like being a Black person. That's what it's like being a woman and what it's like to grow up as a Black person, as a woman, under that veil of invisibility. It's a lot. And then to go into it a little bit more, talking about, you know, having to always prove that you're better just to be able to do the same things that everybody else does. You almost have to go above and beyond, and the pressure that puts on you. And it's not really a freedom in that, you know, when you're having to be better just so you can be at the table. You know what I'm saying? It's not, it's, and then, so, you know, this is, I went to an all-girl private school, all white, all girls private school. And I went there for the first time, I was 6 years old, and quickly learned all kinds of things. I think they call it code switching now, but I call it surviving, you know, how to survive in this environment that was so foreign, where it wasn't really safe to be different. So I think there is the reality of always having that doubt underneath, or having that fear underneath of it not being safe to just be who you are. But then on the flip side, there's all this power. Like, I'm a person who actually really knows my power and my strength, and I'm really confident. And, you know, despite moments in my life where I was put in environments where I had to question that, I've also really learned to step into everything that I am, and to make myself seen, and to take control, and to speak up and use my voice in a really big way. And I've succeeded at that. So I know that I have that power, but still it doesn't mean that there's not this like constant battle, you know, because I'm still Black in America, you know what I'm saying? So every day, like, you know, there's something happening that's telling me that you are not powerful. You are not powerful. Your voice does not matter. You know, you are invisible. And every day I'm like, I am powerful. So basically High Priestess was the other side of that. It was like, not only am I powerful, but I'm like this massive being who even sees things. I mean, I believe as an artist, often we see things that everybody doesn't see yet, you know? And so I was just playing. I mean, it's really like kind of a brag and boast rhyme, honestly. But I am talking a little bit about an insightfulness and an understanding of myself and the world that I'm willing to step into, where I think a lot of people as artists, well, a lot of artists are willing to step into that, but I think a lot of, you know, the rest of like pop art is really about commodity, and nobody is able to talk about anything or really go there because it's not necessarily sellable. What I'm saying is, you know, when I say, hey pretty, for example, right? I'm just talking about just all these artists out there, and especially women artists, who aren't even allowed to be anything other than what they look like. You know, it's still naked, big naked butts are the top selling acts. You know what I mean? It still is. It just still is. And, you know, the less you talk about in your music, the more sellable it is to everyone. And that's where we're at. And so that song Touch is like talking about that a little bit. It's just like, okay, well, this is what I'm not. And this is why, you know, I have even more power, because I'm not buying into that shit, you know?
It does make all these moments so much bigger and powerful, because this is a loud record, and it's not just an aurally loud record. I mean, it's a loud record for, you know, that does, I don't, garner is not the right word, but it demands, that's the word, demands attention. And that was right off the bat when I played it. And then you see the visuals. I see the visual, you know, those vignettes, by the way, are, you know, so interesting to watch. When does that part of the process come along for you? Like, are you seeing all of that side of things as you're creating the songs?
No, I don't even think that hard about them. They just come out of my mouth, honestly. Honestly, there's like almost no thought, which is why it's so great. I think creation is, much of it for me is about opening up and letting go. And you just let it come through from a higher source, you know, even if it's from your higher own self, like, or from some bigger thing that's coming through you. But it's really about just opening up to it and just letting it come through. And that's why it's so freeing, because I am such the type of person, I'm in my head all the time. I've been up since 5 a.m. because I can't stop thinking all the time. So if art for me, if making music for me is a moment where I can stop thinking and this comes out, then that's the best place for me to be, you know, because that's what happened.
Well, thank goodness for us, because there is, you know, to latch onto the record, to latch onto the videos. I do want to bring up a few of the other things here. You have the Holified tour coming up. Is there a concept that goes along with it? Like, I guess I'm asking further of what I was getting at a minute ago. There are multiple platforms of art that you're creating. What's going to go into this tour that ties it all together, if anything?
I don't know. I always just think of my tours as like a physical expression of what the music is. So it's like an opportunity to bring it into bring it to life in a different way, like with physical presence on stage and costumes and visuals and dancing. It's just a way to, and especially with this record, I mean, I specifically said I was going to make it as a multi-sensory experience. So I've created a spirituals tea and a spirituals body products and, you know, all these short art videos. And, you know, I've tried to just touch on every sense. But even before that, I've always used my shows as a way to have people experience the music in a physical way. Whether that means, like, you know, in the past I've had my dancers come out when, you know, 99 Cents was more about everything being a commodity and everything being for sale. And, you know, so the dancers come out and they sit on a, and it's about consumption in a sort of funny way. I was poking fun at it. And the dancers come out and they sit and blow up chairs and they drink Slurpees and eat, like, I don't know, Cheetos, I think they were eating. For like the first 10 minutes of the show, they just sit and eat on stage. So it's always a way to just think about performance is a whole nother way of creating. And so, I don't know, that's what you can expect, I guess, is just more ways of bringing the themes to life.
By the way, I love tea. I love so many different types of tea. I read about the tea.
Oh my God, you love tea? I'm so excited about the tea.
Tell me about the tea, because so far all I know is that it ties in with spirituals, but like, what's, how did you create a tea? Like, what did you, give me the tea about the tea.
I mean, I partnered with this guy named Brian White. He has the same last name as me, but we're not related. And Oliver Luckett, and they were working with Yopan, which is it's like a tea it's a plant, it's a holly plant that grows in the Mississippi Delta region and was used by the indigenous people of that area since, you know, the beginning of people here on this continent. And it kind of got forgotten about or just wiped out as tobacco became the marketed thing, and as like the white colonists came and they're like, tobacco is what we're doing and this is what we're selling. But the Yopan has all these amazing healing qualities. It's kind of like green tea is antioxidant, has all these great qualities. And anyway, so I started talking to them and I was like, I want to do a taste element for the record. And Brian's like, tea. And I was like, okay. And I happen to love tea. So I was like, well, what do you want to make? And so I chose for each tea, I chose ingredients that go with the themes, some of the themes of the record. Same with the body products that I've done. Like, for instance, I was talking about generational trauma. So for like one of the body products, we made a spray that has black spruce, which is something that deals with generational trauma and letting go of the past and stuff like that. And so with the teas, all the different, I don't want to tell you exactly what the flavors are yet, but okay. Like the first release will be a set of three. And, you know, I just chose things that have, each tea has a different name and the name has to do with the qualities of the tea, and the qualities of the tea have to do with some of the themes that I've been, you know, working through on the record. And I try to do like, it's not like, you know, chamomile. It's like I try to do really interesting combinations and a little bit unusual, but also palatable, you know.
I can't wait. I seriously, this is one of the things I'm most excited about right now. I want to try
I'm
these
really
teams.
Excited. To be honest, we just finished the last tea last night, and it was like a hard. The last one was taking so long because we kept trying all these different things. I was like, it's not good enough, and we just finished the last one last night, so I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, well, I'm literally finishing off this smoky green tea that my wife had picked up this week. I don't even know the name of it, but it's got a really good smoky quality to it. So not that means anything, but I've got tea in hand as we're talking about this anyway. So I'm
good. Well, definitely, I'll get you some.
I cannot wait to try it. Sati, congrats. And again, thank you so much for what you've done with Spirituals here. It's such a good record, and I so appreciate you taking the time to talk about it.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me. Thank you so much.
And my thanks to Sati Gold. Again, the new album is called Spirituals. Thanks to you as well for checking out the episode in the series. Hit that subscribe button while you're hanging around here. That way, you get 3 brand new interviews sent to you every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at iTunes, Apple Podcast, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. An hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots. It's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all three of them. The web address is at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
People still say nice to meet you on emails now.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.